Hi, good Vach, and we are now past the Chagim. This is Yisachar Wartel, and we are up to Parshat Bereishit. That's right. In the blink of an eye, we went through Vezot HaBracha on Simchas Torah, and we are now very beginning of the Torah cycle, Parshat Bereishit, or Bereishis, however you want to pronounce it. There is so much packed into it, and we have less than a week to get into it. It really is unfortunate. I always tell people that I really wish we had more time to go through it, and you do. You don't have to always learn the parsha on the parsha of the week. You can always learn something like Bereishit at any point in time. So, there's a lot to talk about. We're going to be talking about creation, but there's obviously so much to talk about with just the sin of Adam and Chava and Cain and Hevel and the generations. But on the fourth day of creation, Hashem created or fixed the luminaries, which are namely the sun, the moon, and the stars. And when describing these creations, the Torah uses the term V'hayu la'otot u'lamoadim u'layamim u'lashanim. And they shall be as otot and moadim and as yamim and as shanim. Interestingly, for the most part, both the definitions and representations of these terms are actually uniquely different in Rashi as compared to what the Ramban says. It's not the first time that they argue. According to the Rashi's explanation, the term "If I did this last year, I apologize, but it's worth repetition." That way you'll know it better and can build on it. And if you'd like to get back to me with some feedback, I'd be happy to, hear what you have to say. I always appreciate insights and developments, and it's all about the growth of Torah. But anyway, according to Rashi's explanation, the otot, the signs, are celestial phenomena such as eclipse that can affect or frighten nations of the world. And this is primarily in reference to solar eclipses, as they are far less frequent and a lot more noticeable than lunar eclipses, and especially because they take place during the day. Now, the Mo'adim, these times, according to Rashi, refer to the Yomim Tovim and the general calendrical structure that is to be implemented by the rabbis and the Sanhedrin. Now, the Yamim, the days, the general sharing between the sun for daytime and the moon for night, and the Shanim, years, refers to 12 divisions of the celestial sphere, more commonly known as the zodiac, which is a function of the stars and the constellations. And yes, we actually do believe in the 12 divisions of the firmament and the zodiac premise, but we do not believe in astrology or divining or determining the future through them. It's a very interesting topic to be talked about another time. But in summary, we have our otot relating to the sun, the moadim relating to the moon, the yamim relating to the sun and the moon together, and the shanim related to the stars. And now I'm pretty certain, even though I'm explaining it differently, I am pretty sure that I did this last year, so I apologize for that. But maybe you weren't here last year, or who knows? Anyway, so this is perhaps just a question that arises from our pasuk. For the order in which these terms are listed initially is actually perplexing. So it makes sense that these signs, the otot, would be first, since the primary significance. But the other three terms should either be day, season, year, or year, season, day. First, you have a set of days that make up a season, and those seasons make up four seasons, or two seasons make up a year. Alternatively, you could go in the opposite order, right? A year is broken down into seasons, and seasons are broken down to individual days. But the configuration that we actually have present is season, day, year. But perhaps now, looking at Rashi, we can understand this top-down approach of importance going from the sun to the moon, to the partiality of each to the stars, something which also appears to be mirrored in the order of adjacent psukim. So just to clarify, according to Rashi, we have the sun, the moon, the cooperation between the sun and the moon, and then the other elements in the sky, which are less prominent, no less beautiful, perhaps more beautiful, but less integral to our lives, and those are the stars. According to Ramban's explanation, however, our question appears unanswered. The Ramban explains that the otot, the signs, quite literally is all the magnificent forms the sun and moon can actually take in the sky, right? The beautiful crescent, the full moon, the high noon sun, the beautiful sunset and sunrise, and how people marvel when they see them, although do not look directly into the sun. He explains that the Mo'adim, not specifically as months or festivals, but as the seasons and weather patterns. So it's very different than Rashi. Yet the Yamim, however, similar to Rashi, he explains our division of the sun and the moon for day and night purposes, although he uses distinct language that Rashi doesn't use. Whereas Rashi uses the term chatzi yom, half a day, the Rambam writes midat yom u'midat layla, measurements of the day and measurements of the night, which commentaries explain to the hours in which each segment of the day is broken up rather than just two segments themselves. In other words, 12 and 12 rather than half and half. Right, half day, half night. It's actually 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night. And the fact that each can have corresponding hours depending on the time of the year. So it's not necessarily 12, even though we break it into 12. Now finally, the Ramban translates the fourth term, shanim, as cycles rather than specifically years. derived from Sheni, meaning the point at which one cycle is complete and a second Sheni cycle begins. For the sun, this would be 365, and for the moon, it's roughly 30 or 29 and a half days. Therefore, all four of our terms, according to the Ramban, can actually be both relating to either the sun or the moon, right? And not that there's actually like a phase or a change, and that's like Rashi, sun, moon, both stars. Here, everything, according to the Ramban, could be referring to the sun and or the moon. So he later goes on to allude to the fact that the sun and moon are rulers of the zodiac or mazel forces, since they determine what stars and constellations will actually be seen at night, and in terms of the phase of the moon, the light of the sun, the angle of the earth, etc. So in this case, the stars are secondary in all four aspects, as opposed to being the fourth one, you know, according to Rashi. So the dominant of the sun and the moon and the stars kind of take a back seat in a sense, since the sun and the moon kind of control how we view them. Now, it's worthwhile to note that the Ramban paints a picture of creation in relation to mankind in general, right? Because he's focusing on the creation of the earth as a whole, and certainly the creation of the earth for the purpose of mankind, but rather than specifically through the lens of the Jewish people, which is seemingly how Rashi views it. And therefore, it might be that they specifically define the terms the way they do through the lens in which they're seeing the very beginning of the Torah. Rashi, right, who famously asked the question about why the Torah doesn't start with Rosh Chodesh, is focused on Torah as a guidebook, for lack of a better term, for the Jewish people. Whereas the Ramban sees it more than that. He sees it as a guidebook in a certain sense to the blueprint of the entire world. And in reality, it's both. It has multiple levels, or certainly more than just those two. But it helps frame their perspective. And therefore, we can surmise perhaps why the Pasuk orders the four terms in the way they do. It's actually through the psyche of man. Now, upon first seeing the sun and the moon, man first contemplates their magnificence and purpose. They're the world in which he lives. He sees the sun every day, sees the moon every cloudless night. And hopefully, through seeing them in the sky, he looks upward and is reminded of the one who put them into place, and it's therefore a sign, an oath of God. However, man then notices how the sunlight can change over time, gets shorter in the winter, longer in the summer, and with it, colder and warmer temperatures, longer, shorter nights, longer, shorter days. These changes also correspond, man notices, to natural cycles in Earth, such as flowering, thunderstorms, snowfall, different other weather patterns, humidity patterns, perhaps. However, not only do the times of the year create different realities, but even various points of the day. It's hotter at high noon, then you get frost in the morning. So there's different points of the day that can have different types of characteristics. Midday sun is obviously stronger, and the moon is brighter, often closer to dusk, but it depends on the revolution. So once mankind understands that the realities of nature with respect to the sun and the moon, he will eventually realize over the course of the years that the same patterns, in effect, repeat themselves, and that the moon has monthly patterns as well. This actually then ties in a certain sense, much better to the Ramban's portrayal, which is how mankind in general views it, and that everything could be related to the sun or the moon. However, looking at it from Rashi's perspective, where it's focusing more on the role of a Jewish person who's receiving and learning the Torah, he's looking primarily first as, let me just try to think the best way to explain it. He puts Otot first, either way, even though he defines it, generally speaking, as the sun, because the sun is the first and foremost thing that you notice. You notice the sun more prominently. Yes, you notice the moon, too. The moon's beautiful. You notice it at night. But the sun is there all the time, and it's much more bright. It's much more vivid. It takes more of a shine. It's more brilliant, and therefore, it makes you think of one's creator, and specifically, Hashem is focusing, even though he's focusing on connection with all of his creation and all of mankind, he specifically has a breach, a covenant, focusing on a more intimate nature with the Jewish people. The Moadim function of the moon, and he says that the moon, because we need the calendrical cycles, which are very much dependent on the Jewish month, which are lunar. And he's looking at changes on a slightly smaller scale than on the yearly scale like the sun. So there are ways to connect to Hashem on a, you know, so one is connecting it to Hashem in more sense through nature and through his majesty and general connection. And the moon, it's more through the regalim. The yamim is the day in and day out, the mitzvot, the things that we have every day. And then the shanim, the stars, would be kind of like more of the accompaniment, like whether you want to call it Kabbalah or the other accoutrement, the other little flavors, the other little things that can make things different. So it's not monotonous and that you are growing and that there are little things to help make the mitzvot more besimcha or more connected. So that's kind of how Rashi is viewing it. So either way, whether you're looking at it like the Ramban, you're looking at it like Rashi, life is a cycle and patterns, but the goal is to grow and to develop, right? So that you're not just repeating the same things over and over again. The goal is to see each cycle as a shana, which is a year, but we don't want it to just be a shani. We don't want it to just be a second year, right? Just the same thing like it was last year. It's just a second occurrence. We rather want to have an opportunity for a change. We want it to be a shinoi. Whether you're looking at it from the standpoint of mankind and man's role in creation and relationship to God, or whether you're looking at specifically as a Jew with respect to the mitzvot, there's always an opportunity for change and development and growth, and that's why Hashem put mankind in this world, to grow and develop, and also, of course, to create a relationship with him. So I also wanted to thank Isaac Kotlicki, Isaac K., for helping me with this dvar a few years back. So wishing you all Shabbat Shalom and a good year.